Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught when he said, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world." So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, again together. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, in the last broadcast, we were discussing what John meant here in verse 4 when he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And when we were looking at the difference between overcoming and having things cast out of us. You see, dear friends, we live in a time when people are very, very weak. And we have become a very soft and worldly people because of the great blessings and the prolonged safety and the unprecedented prosperity that we have all experienced over the last 60 years or so. We have an entire generation of people today who have been raised on television and who honestly believe that every problem of life can be solved in 30 minutes or less with three commercials. We have instant coffee and microwave lunches, and we talk about megabits and terabytes, and we have begun to believe that we can always have instant solutions and immediate answers to everything that life brings to us, and that is simply not realistic. There is a great benefit to not always getting what you want, when you want it, or how you want it. Remember when we used to teach our children that truth. Remember when we used to say that sometimes learning a lesson from disappointments was far better than being blessed all the time. Remember when the development of a godly character was more valuable than a new car, and when honor and duty and faithfulness were promoted as being more valuable than gold and silver. Many marriages fall apart today because people don't want to expend the effort or take the time that a good and strong marriage requires. It's just easier to leave and start over than it is to struggle. Far too many marriages fail today because marriage itself is not viewed as being worth the fight or worth the struggle or worth risking everything to uphold and honor. It is this same logic that causes scores of people who are the recipients of liberty and freedom to not care about their country and to not feel obligated in the least to support their nation during a time of war. They honestly don't feel that anything is worth fighting for or worth defending or worth dying for. And I can't tell you how many times nice and good people have told me that we should never struggle over God's word, that it really doesn't matter what God said, that it doesn't matter what we believe or how we live as long as we just love Jesus. People have told me that obedience to Scripture is optional and that me teaching what God's Word actually says is legalistic, or that crying out against ungodly practices and false teaching is quenching the Spirit or being judgmental. But you see, people struggling with things that are worthy of our struggle. We honor things that we deem to be honorable. We fight for things because we view them to be worth fighting over, and we die for things that are valuable and precious and costly. And that struggle is not always quick. Our problems are not always easily fixable. Sometimes the struggle involves a long, dedicated, protracted, consistent effort on our part. But the truth is that we simply will not commit to that kind of struggle unless we highly value whatever it is that we are struggling over. And this is exactly what the Apostle John is talking about here in verse 4 when he uses the word overcome rather than the word deliverance. John is not talking about something that is easily arrived at or that is quickly solved. John is talking about a lifelong struggle against the lusts of our flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, things that are promoted and displayed every day by a corrupt and fallen world. You do not quickly or easily overcome these kinds of things. You cannot simply have these things cast out of you. These things of the world are things that John says must be overcome by the believer. So the first step that we must take in overcoming the lusts and cravings and desires of this present evil world is to first understand that all the loves that this world promotes, all the affections that this fallen system dominated by unregenerate man propagates, are evil. They are all sin. They are altogether corrupt. They are never good. They cannot be converted. They will never be sanctified. They are counterproductive to your walk with God. They are enemies in faithfully loving and serving Jesus Christ. So let's look again at just how John himself put this by reading 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So if we are to obey John in what he teaches in 1 John 5 verse 4 and put forth the effort in the struggle to overcome the world, we must first understand what the world is and to understand why we need to overcome it. Worldliness is loving and following and accepting the system of this evil, corrupt world that operates in hostile opposition to God and the things of God. Worldliness is having a view of life that is in accord with what the lost pagan world teaches, as opposed to what God's Word teaches. And some would say, but Brother Blair, it really doesn't matter how we view the world and what we love as long as we love God too. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Read again the last part of 1 John 2, verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we can see here just how serious the issue of worldliness is, because the Apostle John says here that everyone who loves this world, or in other words, anyone who is worldly, does not have the love of the Father in him. And that's pretty serious, dear friends, because if you don't have the love of the Father in you, then you're not saved. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is this: can anything that we truly love be bad? Can anything that we deeply love be wrong? Can anything that we sincerely love be sinful? I mean, the very fact that we as followers of Jesus Christ love something, doesn't that indicate that there is something lovely about it? In other words, if something were wrong or bad or sinful, wouldn't we as believers simply not love it? And sadly, the answer to that question is no. Because even saved people have the capacity to love things that are wrong or bad and even sinful. And many times we love these things a lot, and some people love them deeply. So John cautions us here to examine our hearts, to make sure that what we love is what God loves, and that we guard our hearts, and that we take heed to ourselves, that we do not set our affections on things that God said that he hated. And this struggle, this effort to not love the world and to not love the things that are in the world is exactly what John is talking about when he says that believers should overcome the world. So what does that mean for each one of us today? Well, it means that God should have no effective rival for our affections. It means that God alone should be chief. It means that nothing should compete with our love for God. And so there are some questions that we need to ask and answer honestly if we ever hope to overcome the world. For example, what are those rivals for our affections? What things in our lives are in competition with our love for God? Can we find them? Can we name them? Christian brothers and sisters, if you look honestly, you will find things in your life that compete with your love for God. And I suggest to you that if it is hard for you to find those things that actively compete with God for your affections, it's not because they're not there. But I suggest that it is hard for you to find those things that are in competition for your love for God because those things have already deceived you. They have already blinded you so that you cannot see them easily. Beloved, when we look inwardly, we must remember the counsel of our Lord when he spoke to those lukewarm souls in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, and said, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' but you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So if God would be merciful to us and open our eyes so that we can see and know and identify those things which are rivals in our lives for our affections, which rightly belong only to God, we would be so blessed. So I encourage all of us who sincerely desire to love and serve Jesus Christ to earnestly pray that God will open our hearts and minds and eyes so that we may see and fix our eyes on that competition, that we may learn the name of that rival. Because we must understand, brothers and sisters, that one of sin's main attributes is that it is sly, it is stealthy, it is hard to see, so that the one who sins does not see it as being sin. So for a Christian to live his life never asking God to help him see his own sin is to walk arrogantly through this life, deceived and wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I mean, can any of us say that sin has ever walked up to us and presented his card to identify himself as sin, saying, "I am sin, and I have come to deceive you and to get you to disobey God and to live in a terribly self-destructive way"? No. Satan didn't approach Eve like that in the garden, and he has continued to be more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. So if we would be honest with ourselves, we usually see our sin only through our mistakes and through our agonies and through our solitude and our pain and in our sufferings. So for believers to pray and ask God to open our eyes and to reveal our sin to us before we fall into it, before we have to be in sorrow, well, that would be a great blessing and a great help in our walk with God. Now, take heed as you pray this way, dear friends, because God may well answer your prayer. So make your mind up ahead of time that whatever God sovereignly brings into your life to open your eyes, that you see it as a blessing and not a curse. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.